guys can be seated. Oh, there's some good friends here. We got some visitors from Utica, New York, joining us today. Yeah, it's our usual time. If you have something to share about what God is doing in your life, a testimony or something, come up and share it. You know, people share about exams. I know a lot of people just finished up with school. And, you know, if you were somewhere this weekend or last weekend, or you were, doing mission work in New York City or anything, you know, come up and share and see what's going on.
All right, so last weekend, me, Mary, and a few other girls and ladies ended up going to New York City to visit NYSM and kind of get some training on ministry on the streets. Everything went well, kind of better than we all expected. We all just kind of went for it, let's just try this out. And it was such an amazing time just ministering on the streets, speaking to everyone, and also working in the shelter. It was just a great time, and God really blessed us.
Oh, we have another one.
Okay. So during math class, there was like a really hard test, like TIPA test, you know? And so I asked Leah, I texted her, I go, can you please pray for my test? She goes, yeah, sure. Me and my friend Abby were in the same math class. So she's like, can you please pray for me and Abby for this test? We take the test, and I was like, okay, that was the hardest test I've ever taken. I'm probably going to fail. We get back our scores. Me and Abby were the only 100s in our class. Everyone else failed. They had to retake the test. So, yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. All right. Anyone else? Oh, yeah, sisters.
So I had a health test, and I barely studied. So I just prayed, and I got an 100.
I always pray for prayer, you know, but I don't recommend not studying. All right, so Sprout, you can be dismissed to go downstairs and enjoy your thing. All right, well, thank you everyone for being here. Last week we talked about the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and we're really, what I'd like to have for a couple times is, what is the Holy Spirit or doing, and who he, like we already talked about who he is, but what is he doing in our lives? What is his work in our lives? But this week, there's supposed to be like a part two, but I really felt that God wanted me to share about people, you know, people next to you. And you know, you ever go to a church where you hear online now, like the preachers, you know, all of them are like, turn to the person next to you and say, God is for you. And like, for me, that's always like really awkward, you know? I'm like, you know, I'd rather just like, some of us would rather die or something than turn to a person right next to us and say like, hello, or give them a high five. So turn to the person next to you, you know, give them a high five. Are you guys just, you know? It just feels weird, right? And, you know, it's just funny. It feels awkward, but I really feel that the people that God put around you and the people that are in your life are there for a reason. And I believe that the Holy Spirit and my prayer is that we begin to know the people who are next to us, who are with us, who are church family, and that we would begin to grow with them. And we would actually come to have a relationship with each other and grow as a family. And so you might say, like, what's in it for me? Well, I think knowing people, and really people, God put them here, is that they enrich our lives. You know, I've never seen someone regret knowing people, right? You need something, you're like, oh, I know this guy, you call him up, or you need this. You know, that's not all friends are for, but still, like, knowing people is nice, right? Like, you know, you need tile done, you hit up Tile King or whatever, good business in Utica. But there are people who, I worked for 40 years, and I got to this position of a job, say, you know, a partner at an accounting firm or something like that, and they go, well, I have nothing else. I have no time for family, no time for friends, they have no memories. And you think about it, that's the stuff that people regret, but no one ever regrets knowing people or building a relationship with people. And so today I really want to talk about that, and I have three points that I'll be talking about, and we'll be reading from Mark 8, so that will help us kind of see that we have what and who we have is what we need around us. So Mark 8, 1 through 9, we'll just start reading that. I think it's going to be up on the board. All right. So, about this time, another large crowd had gathered, and the people ran out of food again. Jesus called his disciples and told them, I feel sorry for these people. They have been here with me for 3 days, and they have nothing left to eat. If I send them home hungry, they will faint along the way, for some of them have come a long distance. His disciples replied, how are we supposed to find enough food to feed them out here in the wilderness? Jesus asked, how much bread do you have? 7 loaves, they replied. So Jesus told all the people to sit down on the ground. Then he took the 7 loaves, thanked God for them, and broke them into pieces. He gave them to his disciples, who distributed the bread to the crowd. A few small fish were found too. So Jesus also blessed these and told the disciples to distribute them. Then they ate as much as they wanted. Afterward, the disciples picked up 7 large baskets of leftover food. There were about 4,000 men in the crowd. I think that's just like how they counted it was just men, not including women and children. And Jesus sent them home after they had eaten. That's a pretty wild story, you know. There's basically a lot of people got to eat. And one thing that really struck me as reading it is what Jesus asks. What did he ask? He said, how much bread do you have? What he asked is, what do you have? And, you know, I was just thinking about that, how the disciples, think about, both of them asked how. The disciples asked how and Jesus. And the disciples asked, how are we supposed to feed all these people? Right? What were they saying? They're basically saying, I don't have what I need. How are we supposed to do this? This is crazy. Let's send them home. And Jesus asked how, but he asked it different. And he says, how much bread do you have? And what he really asked is, what do you have? And my first point for today is, I have what I need. And so, I don't know if I forgot to grab keys, but think about like a key for a car, right? You have like a key for a car, and the key itself is not going to get you to where you need to go. You know, like I can't like hop on the key, or it's not like a broomstick, you know, like in the stories where the witches would find the broomstick, like if you read all the Russian like skazki. But this key will unlock my car and start my car, and I can get to where I need. So think about it. The people and the provision that God puts in our lives and around us, they're the key that opens the doors, opens what we need, and God uses them to get us where we need to go. You know, and if you think about it, and sometimes we look at it and it's like, what is this key going to do for me? I can't get anywhere where I need to go with this key, but a key will unlock the door, and a key will start the car, and the key will keep the car driving. And even if, like, if we're always looking at what we don't have, like the disciples did, and they're always looking at what they don't have, you'll always find yourself feeling rejected. I don't know if you guys know, like, anything, like, if you've listened to a lot, but anytime we talk about rejection, that's representing an orphan spirit. And an orphan, they see a need, or they have a need, but they can't meet it. And so they feel rejected because they can't help and they can't get. So they ask, like, the disciples, well, how are we supposed to find the food for it? I don't have what I need. That's the orphan spirit. It's always seeing how it can't or how it's rejected and stuff. And I find that a lot of young people in church, and even like all generations, we walk around like aimlessly. We walk around kind of lost, or we feel hopeless because we see a need or we have a need and we don't know how to fill it, or we don't know what we're walking into. And so we walk around often with the orphan spirit. A lot of people do. Because they have a need, but they don't know how to fill it. Or they see a need. They see someone in need, but they don't know how to fill it. They can't. And they say, well, how are we supposed to do it? It's impossible. But we, as a people, we as young people, we're called to serve. You see, a servant can fill a need, right? Because why? Well, if I'm serving you, I'm bringing something that my master owns, right? So, like, if we had a servant, well, I guess kind of like slave, but servant is like, you know, you work for someone. So you're bringing stuff that someone else has that you already own. And so when there's a need, you serve it because it's already there and you're serving it to the person. And so we're called to serve, but even more than that, our position is sons, right? As sons and daughters of God, not only are we called to serve, and we can bring what we need, but we also are, because of our position, we have that. And see, the difference, like a son, he has dominion. And so as we are called, we don't have that orphan spirit, because not only are we called to serve, like Jesus served, but we can also, because our Father owns it all, and as sons, instead of just taking and bringing, we also have, he's given us choice and dominion. So we have a will and a choice, and we pray for the kingdom of God. We pray, Jesus said, ask whatever you want in my name, and I'll give it to you. What's that for? That's for so that we can see a need, and we can fill it. So I see a need. I see someone that needs help, and instead of feeling helpless, I have all of heaven's treasure there, and I can fill the need. And that's what my position is. So I don't walk around rejected. I don't walk around feeling like I have nothing to give, or I can't fill something, because I do. And, you know, my Father owns the cattle upon 1,000 hills. He has exceedingly abundantly more than I can ever think, ask, or imagine. And that's something that we need to ask the Holy Spirit, reveal my position to me. So then when I see a need, I don't feel rejected. When I have something in my life, I know that you provide. And I know I have a choice, and I could come to before you and ask for that. Because the people in the pews next to you, God placed them here so that he, working through them, can also fill what you need and get you there. Don't miss out on what God wants to do in your life because you're leaving people out or you're not claiming what you have around you. And you don't see what you have around you. I remember And you know, our call is for the people in the pews with us and to really have a relationship. I was at Walmart once, and if you're looking at verse 1, just some context for this, it says, about this time another large crowd had gathered, and the people ran out of food again. Life has a way of throwing stuff again, you know, coming around again. I was at Walmart once, you know, and there's this lady cashing out, and she's short, you know, and then, like, it's at the quick checkout, you know, I happen to be right by there, and I hear it, and I'm like, oh, whatever, this lady's short, like, I'm going to pay for it, you know, and, like, I see in her cart, you know, human nature, it's like, you see, like, Febreze, you know, I'm like, why are you buying air freshener, you know, if you can't pay the bill, go pick some flowers, you know, like, we start looking at, like, you know, is it even, like, this stuff isn't even necessary for life, but I think, like, oftentimes we find a lot of excuses of why not me and why I can't help. And we see stuff in our lives, maybe we mismanage our money, or maybe, you know, we don't have the same budget as someone who does, and we think, well, that he should help, I don't have to. But I think God has put us where we are so that we can supply the need wherever we are. And love, it never considers the worth of its object. I don't think, well, I don't find all these excuses why I shouldn't help her. I help her because anyways, I have unlimited resources. And so when we're walking out and we're walking out what God is doing is for us, let's not make up excuses why you can't help or why you can't help meet a need, and allow God to really use us, because the Bible says, freely you have received, freely give. And if you don't have it, then ask for it. You know, and when we are at the presence of Jesus, not only financially, but what do you need that people need? Do you need love? Spend time with him. Let him give you his love, give you his joy. Do you need joy? People out there need joy. If you're going to walk around miserable, you're not being a good representation. But if you need it, he'll freely give it to you. And then you can also give it to others, to those around you. And I always think of it this way, too. See, we think, like, oh, there's someone who makes more, like, let them help. But freely you receive, freely give. If you think about, what if you weren't in where you even were? What if you were, like, homeless or something? You know, a homeless person is thinking, man, if I was just like Mark, if I was just like Bogdan, you know, I'd be so happy, man. I would just give it. But wherever we are, we have an opportunity to give, to sow, and to do that. In the pew next to you, you have what you need. So those people around you, those people in the pew with you, they're the people that God is using for you, and God is using you for them. So I don't know which one is worse. And like, you know, you're like, oh man, God gave me these people. Well, maybe you're the person that, you know, people are like, oh man, God gave me this person. But regardless, God gave them to us so we can get to where we need to be in the purpose in our life. Second point is that fire doesn't fall on an empty altar. Mark 8:6-7. We're reading again, same passage. I just want to go over again. So Jesus took all the people to sit down on the ground, told. Then he took the 7 loaves, thanked God for them, and broke them into pieces. He gave them to his disciples, who distributed the bread to the crowd. A few small fish were found too. So Jesus also blessed these and told the disciples to distribute them. They ate as much as they wanted. See, I don't think the point here is that someone gave their 7 loaves and some fish. I really believe the word that really defines what happened is sacrifice. Someone sacrificed their meal. You see, giving, we give out of abundance. We give what we have. I have $100, I give you a dollar. I have $100, I give you $10. But sacrifice costs me something. I have $100 and I give away $100. See, this person, they had, and just think about it. This person had only 7 loaves, or whoever, maybe it was a couple people. But it says they found 7 loaves and a few fish. So maybe he had enough for his friends. Maybe he had enough for like a buddy, you know. But he sacrificed everything, meaning that giving them away, he had nothing for himself. And that's what sacrifice really means. Fire doesn't fall on an empty altar. It's like, you know, with a lighter. You know, there's the flame. We ask for God to do stuff in our lives. We ask for God to work in our lives. You know, we have all this stuff. But think about it. This, his flame is always there. His spirit is always there. He's not like he's with us and then leaves us or forsake us or like, hey, I'm on the journey, call back later. He's always there. But this flame is always there. But what? What defines how big the fire gets? Well, it depends what I put on the altar. And I'm not talking about like works. I'm not working so I could be holy. I'm working and I'm laying stuff down and sacrificing because he saved my life. Now I want to help others, you know? So I put one piece of paper. Maybe I could put start a whole bonfire at my residence. 7 o'clock, no, I'm kidding. You know? Fire can't fall on an empty altar. There's nothing there to burn. There's nothing to sacrifice. There's nothing to consume. And I really think that, you know, sacrificing takes risk because, you know, you have nothing left now, the person whoever gave. We're really going to have to risk our schedule, our time, our lives, really, if we want to see what God can do with them. Because, you know, think about this guy. You know, he's probably thinking, you know, thank you, Lord. I have enough food. And these losers don't have enough, you know. Or like, ha, sucks to be you. You know, that's how we oftentimes win our lives. You know, we have what we need, and we thank God for them, and we eat them. And think about this person, right? He gave it up all, so now he doesn't have what he needs. But he sacrificed it. And, you know, giving is good, and sacrifice, it's necessary in the Christian life. But none of those, actually, it's foolish to do that if you're not giving it to someone specific. All right, who did he give it to? Who did he give the fish, the loaves and the fish to? Well, they gave it to Jesus. It's a big difference. I could give all I want. I could sacrifice. But if it's not for Jesus, it has no purpose. You might feel good or something. This is what Jesus said in Luke 14:26. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, yeah, that's in there, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. What's Jesus saying? Well, what he's saying is that he's not an add-on. It's going to take full surrender. And in our lives, and even what we see, you know, it's only 7 loaves. We often think I'm not good enough, or like, why would he want me? Or even maybe it was 1 loaf. Maybe it was, you know, if it would have been 1 loaf, or maybe it was like molded loaves or whatever. It's still not enough to feed 4,000. And whatever we have, you know, it might seem, and like, yeah, it's not enough. It's not enough to make a difference. You know, what's $1 if I give it to someone? It's not enough to make a difference, but it wasn't until he gave it to Jesus. Yeah. It wasn't until he gave it to Jesus that he began to transform that. And so what we begin to give to him as we sacrifice, when we give it to him, it actually has purpose behind it. And now, not only did it feed all those people, it fed him, it fed his friends and family, it fed his disciples, you know, whoever was eating there, and it fed all those families. And that was the risk behind it. See, if he never would have gave it, he would have had enough for himself, but when he gave it to Jesus, Jesus was able to make it for every for everyone wherever they were in the wilderness. Because, you know, if we're going to live our lives, if we're going to be called Christians, if we're going to be going after what God really wants to do, then we have to sacrifice those things that make us comfortable and those things that, you know, we hold on and we're thankful for, but really what we're doing is keeping them to ourselves. Because we're always a channel that the Spirit is moving through. And so we're always, when we're giving and we're sacrificing, which should be a regular part of our lives, We need to give it to Jesus, whatever it is, our time, our money, our you know, our affection, our love. It all has to be for Him. And oftentimes what that looks like is for people. Because, you know, he came to serve and He came to love. And so that's what we do. That's why the only way that you can be sold out for Jesus is when you present your body as a living sacrifice. You know, a fire can't fall on an empty altar. You know, if we're following for a distance, there's really nothing to sacrifice. But when He begins transforming my life, when I lay down my schedules, my time, my will, my ways, you know, everything I'm blowing on myself, all my money and everything, and I give that to Him, He's really able to stretch out and do more than I could ever think or imagine. And not only that, He continues to supply and fill. It's not like you have to come up with strength to endure or anything like that. And the people in the pew next to you, you know, those people all around you, they're your family. And, you know, even in that, whoever gave those loaves, He now blessed the whole people that were there. And that's my third point, is your family is next to you. See, Jesus, He was healing people and preaching and all the time, right? It was just normal for Him to heal and to preach and stuff like that. And one day His mom and His brothers came to see Him, and they can't get to Him because there's like a whole ton of people. And so they're trying to get to Him. And someone starts asking Jesus. They're like, hey, your mom and your brothers, they're here for you. And this is what Jesus says in He replies in Mark 4:33. Jesus replied, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers?" Then He looked at those around Him and said, "Look, these are my mother and brothers. Anyone who does God's will is my brother and sister and mother." You know, the Bible tells us that if we hate our brother, the love of God is not in us. And so, you know, just thinking about the people next to you, I know that, you know, every time when we, you know, we know what it's like to come to church, we see the people next to us, but we always make it out of duty or obligation. It's so awkward, right? Like, you know, I know people better, like Brother Richard and stuff, you know, I'll be like, hey, a little talk, you know, or like, you know, you go over, but it's like so awkward, right? That's why when like someone says like, oh, look over to your neighbor and give them a high five or like pray for them. It makes it so awkward for us, you know? We're like, ugh, you know? But that's the people that Jesus said, look, these are my mother, these are my brothers. And if we're going to, you know, want to reach people there, let's make and become a family with the people that God put around you here. And I remember one time when I was in Haiti in 2017, and, you know, towards the end of the trip, like, they were having, like, we kidnapped their, a big, like, senator of theirs, because he was, like, being a drug dealer, but they really liked him because he was pouring money into Haiti, and so they kidnapped him, and the Haitians started a lot of revolting, so they were running around. Ben was with me, but he was in another part. And the UN had to come and rescue him with trucks and put him in a hotel. And they were walking around the hotel saying, bring out the white people who want to kill them and stuff like that. And it was like wild, you know. And where we were, I remember, like, they started hearing about all the, like, and you could tell, like, there was a lot of tension. And as we were working, I remember we're like, as we're getting to leave, because we were heading back a little bit earlier to get to the compound, and the church came out. And they said, "Let's, can we pray for you?" And we made a big circle, and they said, "We want you to know that we're thankful that you're here and that those people don't represent us." And they began to pray, and you know, as I was standing there, really God showed me who your family really is, who really is there with you, that supports you, that really is that. And instead of me thinking always that I was coming there to help them and they needed help and they were some kind of like, you know, we're just trying to get them into the family of Christ, when they receive Christ, they're my brother and sister just as much as anyone. And really what it showed is that they have the same resources spiritually that we have in the family. Maybe the financial state is not there yet, you know, Haley, but it's like, that's our family. These are my brothers and my mother and my sisters. And I think if we're going to try to get to where God has taken us, then we have to start becoming a family. And really what all that looks like is so simple. It's just you spend time with someone outside of, like, you know, 1 hour on a Saturday. You know, we need to get more involved in, okay, I come to church once a week, you know, and I say hi to some people. No, this is what God has given us to do stuff, to do life, you know, and to, if we're really going to get out there and share, they need to see something that they don't have out there. And what they don't have out there is people that support them, people that they can trust, love, family, and all of that. And so before we go out there, the whole point is, you know, in the pew next to you, those are your family. Those are people that the Holy Spirit will use to bring provision in your life. And for so that we can, as a whole, reach the people all around us. And that's what I really wanted to share with you tonight, that you have what you need. You really do. You have what you need. And when we give and we sacrifice, we give it to Him. And even though it seems inadequate at the moment, what He can do and the doors He can open and the people that He can reach through us when we give Him what we have is amazing. But fire doesn't fall on an empty altar. We bring what we have when we bring all of ourselves. And we will see things like people, some of you are going to be, have traveled all around the world. Millions of people are going to be saved because of stuff that God is doing through you. But when we don't see that, when we see this little key, we're like, how is this getting me to Old Forge? You know? But that key opens doors and opens and starts the ignition. And from there, we can keep going and get to where we need to do. And by doing that, we'll find that our family really is next to us. And the people around us, that's the ones we need to reach. And so I just want you to take a moment and just relax. Nothing to be scared of. Don't be afraid. And just think of just think of one person that's here right now. Or, you know, since a small crowd, just like, you know, but, and like a lot of you are really close. Think of one person, the Holy Spirit, ask Him right now, who do you want me to meet this week? So just think for a moment. Just ask Him, Holy Spirit, who do you want me to meet this week? Who can I connect to? Who hasn't been to church in a while? Who hasn't been to church at all? Who is going to church, but I feel in their life that they need help right now. I feel that they just need someone. Maybe He's giving you even something for, like He's showing you what they need right now. It's Holy Spirit, who do you want me to meet this week? You know, it's really simple. The Christian life is simple. We make it so complicated. Just loving people. And some people out there really need to know that they're loved. Some people just need someone, so meet up with that person this week. Maybe if you're not sure who it is, I think during the week you'll find out who it is that you can meet up with or talk with. Right? All right, bow your heads, I'll pray for you, and we'll pray together to Father, we thank you for tonight. God, we thank you for what you're doing. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would work in our hearts, that we would lay at the altar all that we have. And that when we give you what we have, you're able to multiply and reach to such potential that, such a range that we've never seen before. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would unite us as a family, you would unite us as people, and that those that are around us, those who are in church, those are people that you put there to help us to get what they need. They have something that we need on our journey to get where we're going. So I pray, God, for that you would lay on our hearts someone that we can meet up with this week and just encourage them and just chat with them and begin to just invite them in and invite them into our lives and into the church family. And we thank you, God, for your will and your presence and your love that's always with us. God, do a work in our lives and change us for to see the way you see, to have a heart for people the way you have a heart for people. To stop living for ourselves, to live for you. You are the one who gives us the ability to do that. You enable. It's not our own strength. We thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.